Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Before we begin, sponsor mentions from some of our great supporters. Scratch Labs, fuel that works, folks. Plain and simple. Jackson is the biggest follower of their high carb mix. Am I wrong?
Mm-mm.
Paul is Captain Pineapple.
Oh, I love it.
And I am the guy who accidentally puts recovery powder in his ride bottles.
Did you really?
I did, Leslie. The ride with Jackson. Yeah. I was like, what? Although it is delicious, don't be a Pat. Do not be me. Save the recovery for the post-ride and label your jars if you use them to store your scratch. Please use the Lincoln Pack Filler. Great freaking stuff. And they have that Everyday Hydration is back. It's a new formula. It is back. Be sure and check it out.
Oh, really?
I bought a bag last year and then it disappeared. Mm-hmm. But I think they have improved the formula and it is back. Wahoo Fitness. Did you see the update, by the way, from Wahoo?
Mm-hmm.
Coming to a device on your handlebar soon if you bought the right one. That is GoPro Control, Music Control, Dark Mode, and so much more from the finest cycling computers out there. If you aren't a proper Wahooigan, there is no better time to jump on board. Check out all there is to offer through, of course, our website link. Finally, Cycle Systems Online. Ever dream of being a top-level mechanic? Do you? Or even, I don't know, flushing your brake pads? Not brake pads, brake lines. Wish there was a way to learn all there is to know about bikes in the comfort of your own home at your own pace. Well, Cycle Systems has made all of your wrench dreams come true. From the basics to the brutal, you can check out sample courses today with literal no. I started off so well. It was just a honey river coming out of my mouth. And then all of a sudden, I got to this ad. You can check out sample courses today with little to no commitment. Trust me, you can fix it. Use our link. I just keep going too fast, I think. That's my problem. That was not me. I want everybody in the world to know that sound. Came from the creepy bearded guy at the end of the bar.
Oh, that's great.
How I Met Your Mother.
What?
The creepy bearded guy at the end of the bar. I'll take pity on him. He's so adorable.
He is.
Oh, jeez. It is truly the most wonderful time of the year. Sure, it is likely raining where you are. The weather is still a bit nippy and the train are not quite yet ready to be put away. But Holy Week starts on Sunday. Cycling's Holy Week, that is. Actually, Holy Week started last week.
Yeah.
Palm Sunday. Big Catholic thing. Welcome to the Packfiller Cycling Podcast. We are live on YouTube and packfiller.com from the Rim Break Bar in Spokane, Washington, a city who just recently benefited from global warming. I think that's from last week, and I didn't delete it. But we're not today. It's raining, and it's shitty, and it's cold. I'm Pat Bulger, and let's see who's here with tonight's prologue question. Gentlemen, what does Easter mean to you in terms of traditions, stories, or plans? Like, what are your thoughts? Do you celebrate? Do you bother? Are you a heretic? Are you a ham eater? Or any of that kind of stuff? First off, he's probably, and I'm following it, your introductions with what kind of candy I figure you would be if you were an Easter person.
Oh, wow.
All right. So first off, he's probably a chocolate Easter bunny kind of guy, but it would have to be a Belgian chocolate, Mr. Palmade. Am I right?
Yeah, nailed it.
One down.
Nice.
First of all, how are you, man?
Good, good.
And second of all, what's your thoughts on Easter?
When I was younger, it was kind of like family gathering stuff. It always seemed to be, like, weather-wise, a little windy, you know. But and then I hated going to church.
Yeah.
Oh, I hated it. So, but nowadays it's not a big thing.
Picked up me drinking.
That's how quiet you are.
Yeah. If that thing is cranked.
Yeah.
When you're not here, we can hear an echo sometimes.
Yeah. From Coeur d'Alene. We can hear the racism in North Idaho.
Yeah. Sorry, Utah.
back to Easter. Yeah, go, Paul. Yeah. So you didn't like going to church?
Yeah, no, I hated that part as a kid. And Easter egg hunts, like, why am I looking for boiled eggs when I don't like them anyway?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, see, and then the night before, your fingers are still dyed. And,
yeah.
You know, that type of thing.
You and I are still old enough that we remember actually hunting for eggs, not plastic ones with, like, money in them and shit.
Money. They got money.
Yeah.
Oh.
Money in them.
$20 candy. Golden eggs.
Yeah.
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 But nowadays, now my daughter's going to be putting on a dinner and invited me over. So my wife's working, so I'll just go over there. I don't know.
Okay. Just wondering.
Probably.
Next off, he's probably, I'm guessing, a high-end jelly bean kind of guy. I just see you. No?
Oh, wow.
Damn.
You really missed the ball.
Damn.
Come on, Peeps.
Peeps. Oh, I was gonna say David's into Peeps.
Oh, absolutely not.
Yeah. Oh, I'm man,
you're a Peeps
I will
guy.
Crush Peeps.
Damn.
I got the wrong brother.
Marshmallows for days. I will make myself sick off marshmallows. I will eat
marshmallows
easily. I'm the one
so nasty.
No, s'more sub. That's my style. Whole graham cracker, two jumbo marshmallows, a whole bar of Hershey's chocolate, and a whole nother graham cracker.
Easter. That's not
repeat
Easter.
Repeat
times three.
But that's not Easter.
But you can get a marshmallow for Easter.
That's so good.
Don't roast those. It's molten lava.
I've never had
made the mistake.
I've never had one.
When I was a kid.
55 years, I've never had a Peep.
What? The preservatives in that thing will...
Yeah.
Keep you alive for at least another 100 years.
I don't want to live that long.
Fact.
Fact.
I don't want to live in that world.
Those things were probably made like in the 70s still. Like they have an abundance of them and they're still soft when you open up the wrapper.
Oh, so gross.
Okay, yeah.
I was going to say he's probably into Peeps, but are you a high-end jelly bean kind of guy, David? Did I get the brothers wrong? What's your choice? What's your Easter candy?
I would eat some high-end jelly beans. That sounds better than Peeps. It's not okay. Peeps. I like chocolate, though.
Good. Yeah, chocolate.
Good.
Yeah.
What's your Easter traditions? We didn't get Sam's Easter traditions.
Yeah, no, I mean, not really.
Yeah.
Whatever, it's fine. Really? I'm not. Yeah, I would never give up like my morning right to go do like. Cause usually the weather's changing. Like I want to go ride my bike.
Yeah,
but I'll do whatever if like you know people want to do like an
Easter
dinner.
Come on over for Easter dinner. Okay.
I'll do an Easter dinner because I probably burned the calories throughout the day.
What's the Easter dinner at the Waples household?
Tofurkey, you know, just a giant hawk of tofurkey.
Hey, just envision us just like rabbits, just like eating just a block of cabbage,
roasted carrots.
You don't have actual chairs at your table. You just sit cross-legged style. You just, in the garden. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We just pull up weeds one at a time.
Hey, man, let's all just get together and thank Mother Earth for everything she's given us.
That's pretty much.
Put in the whale sounds.
Don't eat too much. We don't want to take...
don't take too much from Mother Earth.
Oh, I love this track.
Don't take too much from the bunnies.
Yeah.
It's Easter.
Okay. God. Jackson, he's definitely a Skittles guy, Mr. Jackson Bulger, unless you've changed.
You know, I'm a connoisseur of all of the candy type.
You have always been a sweet tooth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have, yeah. And speaking of sweet tooth, I made the scratch cookies the other day.
Oh.
I put chocolate chips in them. Super good.
Right?
Yeah. My wife and I have been a little bit sad that it's a limited edition make.
Yeah.
Bummer.
Yeah.
That's a bummer.
Yeah.
They're really good.
Easter, though, really, I'm going to be honest, I just get super excited. I get to eat Cadbury eggs.
Nice.
Okay.
But what are those again? That's what you make.
No.
No. So the Cadbury eggs, there are multiple iterations. So there are the, like, the fully, like, solid candy-coated eggs, the little mini ones. And then there are also the big Cadbury eggs that have, like, the filling in them that you can't find in anything else in this world. It's probably... I mean, it is something that will also keep you alive for an extra 100
years. Is it like a marshmallowy kind of a liquid marshmallow?
It's like a cream. It's unbelievable.
Dude, another candy I've never had.
That's ridiculous. I would bathe in that shit, dude. I love it.
Bathe in that
I've got
shit.
A short little story about that. This is an ongoing
thing. They're gross,
thing.
Man. It looks like a raw egg in the center.
Well, you until you eat it, and it's not gross.
So, man. I'm not a big fan of them. But the story is, and even to this day, and I think it's been going on a tradition with my daughter and I, we're at my sister's Easter, and there was all these jelly bellies and everything out, and the only thing I saw was Cadbury egg. Well, at least it's chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter was, well, it had to be 8 years ago because it's when she was pregnant with our grandson.
Okay.
And she goes, hey, Dad, I like Cadbury eggs, and I unwrapped it, and I went... And I hate it. From this day, she always like fills my pockets around Easter. It's full of Cadbury eggs. She sent me a box of Cadbury eggs.
Bring it in.
Well, I usually end up spreading it out and giving it to people that like it. I'm not a big fan of them, but it's just run. So on our grandson's 2-year-old birthday, we had the scoop of this ice cream.
Yeah.
And I went and I said, you got to make Cadbury egg. I brought the Cadbury eggs that she sent me. And you make an ice cream out of it, but you cannot serve my daughter. She never gets any of my Cadbury eggs. No matter how many I get, I make sure she never gets any.
That's so funny.
And it goes on to this day. In fact, when was it? 2 days ago, we saw her, and I felt something go in my pocket, and it was a Cadbury egg.
Wow.
Yeah, 8 years.
That's kind of cute.
That is, yeah.
You know.
That's fun.
Abusive sort of way.
Yeah. In a ha-ha, that's so sad kind of way. Yeah.
Might be generating some therapy bills.
Yeah.
Yep.
Me, I am a Starburst jelly bean guy. Those Starburst jelly beans are dangerous.
Huh. I like about that.
Oh, it's the flavors of Starburst, but in classic jelly beans.
30. How old are you, Sam?
Dude.
Hey, I've never had a Cadbury egg.
And I was also appalled at that.
Nor a peep.
And I was equally appalled at that.
Yeah.
Peep is...
How old are you? Well, actually, you probably
so it's only cool. It's only shocking if it's something you like. Is that what you're saying?
Oh no, I like all of it.
No, Jackson, I understand.
Yeah.
I used to be the way into the idea that a 6-foot rabbit would come into my room and leave an Easter basket. Did your parents ever leave the Easter basket in your room while you were sleeping?
No.
Oh, see, my parents did that.
It was out
yes,
the table.
Your parents did that. Shut the.
I know.
That's intrusive.
Yeah. No, they would do it, and I'd wake up in the morning thinking a 6-foot rabbit came into the house, and I wasn't afraid.
That feels unsafe.
But now we're going to be gone this weekend, and feel free to rob my house. now we're going to be gone, and I looked at my wife and I said, "Can we have ham?" Because I don't know why I still want a ham on Easter Sunday, even though it's super salty, and I'm riding for like 4 hours the next day, and I'm going to be a wreck. And Michelle makes what she calls the big butt potato salad, which is just classic potato salad with potatoes, eggs, fucking mayo.
Oh, yeah.
Onion.
Loaded.
Celery. Little squirt of mustard. You just eat it and just go. Sorry, everybody who's listening in their headphones, because it's just so gross. But it's so good. Before we get to tonight's episode on our past weeks, I need to mention that this is our Flanders-Roubaix double whammy. There will not be a show next week, as I'm going to be on a training camp working on my zone 2-3, as you guys recommended, and sprinting my way to hopefully a better power-to-weight ratio.
And tacos?
Yeah. I'm Central Washington, man. There's some great tacos in Central Washington. So that's what I'm going to do. But for tonight, we must catch up. How has everybody been in their cycling lives as we are already 16 minutes in? How'd everybody's weeks go?
Excellent.
What? Really?
What about... How is it not excellent?
No, I'm going to be jealous.
Oh. I mean, I rode outside every time I could. I think I took 2 days off from riding outside, and yesterday I rode inside for the first time. Rode inside for the first time in like a week and a half. It's been great. Wow. I love it. Yeah, it's I feeling great, feeling happy about it. So,
okay,
excellent is the word to describe it.
No. Yeah, I definitely, like, this last week, just knowing that, like, that we were going to kind of have a bad spell of weather there, I was like, I just didn't get caught up in the, I need to go ride. We did a mountain bike ride, I did another ride last week out on the road, but other than that, strength training and just getting ready next week, kind of almost a rest week for my last block.
Okay.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Terrible, that's terrible.
Mine was terrible. Saturday I wanted to go for a ride, but my mom had some electrical problems. Drove out there, and you know, it's a 30-minute drive, and went downstairs and turned the breaker on and worked. So there was my ride. So I thought,
I was gonna make a joke, but I didn't want to. And that was basically the joke I was gonna make.
That's what it was. And then you know, she's gonna be 91 next month.
Yeah.
Wow. So yeah, so I thought, you know, this is a good time to talk mm-hmm. to her and catch up. And,
oh, wow.
And
yeah.
Just the most boring conversation. She didn't know who Eddie Merckx was.
What?
I mean, what do we have to talk about?
Yeah, what is there to talk about?
Does she have an opinion on disc brakes or tubeless tires?
Yeah, she's like nowhere on this. So what do I have to talk to her about?
Mom, I'm sending you the files. Read the goddamn homework, Mom, or I'm not coming over.
And I pulled up and I said, you know, who are your picks for Roubaix? And she's like,
she said, I don't know.
She's not even hookless rims.
What's Roubaix?
Yeah, Roubaix. What is it?
Hookless rims.
Hookless. What do you think? Because of the molds? They're saving money on the molds?
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah. Yeah.
So how are you feeling about the race in 2 weeks?
We're talking about this.
Okay, sorry.
We're in the show. Don't jump the shark.
Sorry.
So anyway, then today was my RDO, and I wanted to ride. But my sister's leaving town, who does the majority of the taking care of my mom.
Oh.
It's bestowed on me, and I have to take over on the 30th.
Gotcha.
So then, yeah.
Okay.
So I didn't get to ride today. Sunday I did after... Camp Villigum.
Yeah.
I hopped on Ruby for the last time.
Oh, my God.
Last time.
Yeah, for the last time this until
fall.
You know, yeah, fall, late winter, early winter. And did the Fields of Flanders. So I went over the Kettleburg, everything.
You know what? While I was watching, I've been watching some of these races. I'm actually to the point now where I'm like going, holy shit, I recognize that.
Yeah.
And I said to my wife while we were watching the race, and I got a problem with flow bikes again, but I'm watching the race and I'm going, honey, I rode that ride. I've been on that ride. I've ridden that road. Yeah. And she's like, what? I'm like, well, in the other room, online. And she just, again, I think if she rolls her eyes anymore, they're going to fall out of her face.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because
she does like the slow clap.
Yeah, it's like, well done, huh?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. You're a true hero.
Yeah, I climbed off of it. Went to my account, canceled until.
Did you?
Yeah, I'm done. Nice. Packed it up after I took a shower.
Oh, are you
took
monthly?
It down to storage. Yeah.
Oh, I paid for the year.
I think mine's done for the at the end of this month.
I paid for the year.
Mm-hmm.
Stupid. David, how's your cycling life?
It was fine. I did more mountain biking and gravel stuff last week and this week. Didn't have a lot of expectations. The weather really slapped me. I feel like it just slapped me in the face. I'm like, oh, it's so nice.
Yeah.
And then, bam, rain, cold, wind.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And that's, but man, we
our
had
weather
a great
went
mountain bike ride. Like that is, it was just a like refresh onto why like
trails are good.
Trails are good.
Trails are good.
Gravel's good.
Gravel's good.
Yeah.
Hero dirt.
I got some strength in. I got one really good ride in with Jackson on Friday because the weather was still nice. Oh my gosh, it was, and that was. I don't know how I'm doing. Is the problem? I mean, Jackson dropped me on the dirt.
Oh, climb. You're gonna get slapped.
Okay, yeah. Thanks, Sam.
I thought you wanted to know how you're doing.
No, I'm just gonna. You know what? I almost should have a second.
I also said that to Jackson the other weekend, and, you know, he was right there the whole time.
I should have a second mic on the floor for when I need to get into the fetal position.
Continue the show.
Just rock back and forth.
Make sure you get a camera mounted
down
there,
too. So anyway, because you know, I'm sure Jackson's being nice to his dad. And, you know, and there were times that I felt I was kind of going, you know, we were side by side. And I can't even look him in the eye right now. Because, and we were going at a pretty good tempo, I thought, at times. But I have a feeling it wasn't. And so, I don't know.
It's driving in this small ring while you're in the big
ring. He like looks over. He's like, "Hey, you should just draft. Yeah. Like, you know, we should work on some tempo." And
what
I'll
was
just
that, Dad? I was freewheeling. Yeah. I couldn't hear you over.
Nah, he was hands off the bars, mixing himself a martini.
Yeah.
This is why. Don't you have power?
Yeah.
Like then you don't have to wonder what. Like you just look.
What those don't mean anything.
You number guys.
Because it's power to weight. It's power to weight.
That's fair.
When you're me, 600 watts. It's getting out of bed in the morning.
That's just clipping in.
Yeah. Stop sign. Grabbing the brakes. 350 watts. How do you guys feel in terms of preparedness? Quick response.
Ripe and ready to go.
Oh, okay.
I'm excited.
Okay. Anybody else?
Paul. Oh, I want to hear Paul's.
If you smell something, I shit my pants.
He's so true. Like, he's so like
self-deprecating.
Too, yeah. Though. No, he's like, oh no, I'm horrified.
Yeah. I am.
$50
And I'll miss the
top
first
five's the first Twilight Saga.
Yeah. Well, I won't be able to do the first one because that is Thursday. Our granddaughter's we haven't seen for 3 weeks, and she's coming back.
Neither will I, so that's good. I'm going to be 2 days off of a heart surgery.
Are you guys doing bees or A's?
No comment.
Okay, to be determined.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I did finish the 10,000 squat challenge.
Nice.
I do want to say. I did 600 squats in one day at the final challenge. I'm swole, bro.
Yeah, it shows.
It shows, and you can't even see me from the waist down?
No, I can't.
Yeah.
Your whole ass has a whole new zip code.
I'm almost a waple.
Yeah. You have to go by GMT instead of PST all the time.
That took me a minute. I'm like, my initials are GMT?
Oh, no.
Good mountain trunk.
We reached for that one.
So how many of you guys are going to continue with strength training throughout the year? Anybody? Sam raises his hand in an audio podcast.
I will.
You will?
Mm-hmm.
How many times?
You know, 2 or 3 times a week.
A week?
Probably more like
year round.
Yeah.
Okay, Sam?
I'll commit to 2.
Okay, yeah. Anybody else? Not none of you guys.
Well, I haven't even started yet.
Okay, so why start?
Yeah.
I'm kind of with Paul here. You know, I told you guys I got some weights. I used them for like 4 weeks. I've hit a dry spell. They don't call me anymore.
They don't call you anymore.
Yeah, like,
Your weights had ghosted you.
But also, it's like, I mean, you're doing so many house projects right now. It's like,
but how bad is it that that's what we classify as an upper body workout? Like, what?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
I'm doing this. I'm doing house
projects. When you're hanging drywall and stuff.
Yeah, it's hard work. But,
yeah. I have to continue. Yeah. I always find I do it really well in fall, winter, and early spring, and then I stop, and you can just watch some of my power numbers drop.
As not being your therapist, I will say you definitely need to continue
doing Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the shoulders.
The shoulders, yeah.
Stuff and things like
it's,
that.
I will say it's crazy how big of a difference it does make.
Yeah.
Because, like, over the past week and a half, like, I remember, David, you came up and you were like, how you doing? And I was like, you know, my ass is really sore because sitting on the bike for 3 hours sucks. But but like upper body, I was not sore at all. And that's the first time. Yeah. That's weird. So it's a game changer.
Yep. Is anybody going to hit the trainer anymore? When does the trainer go away? Or are you going to keep it up during the summer? Jackson, you shook your head.
It never goes away. If I don't have time to go outside, I will go on the trainer.
In July.
Yeah. If I don't have the time, I will get the training in. Because I've had so many years now where the form's dropped off because I've just been like, I got to go outside and it's not the same, you know, level that I need.
Okay. No more trainer.
For no more?
Me. Yeah. Yours is off. Yeah. I don't
know. Probably not for me.
Paul just quit Ruby.
Mm-hmm. I even packed it up and put it down in our storage.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Spat on it while you closed the door.
Yeah. Yep. Took the cogs screw off you. Of it. You don't even deserve the cogs.
You don't even,
on that thing.
Yeah,
those cogs would just be poisoned, just weak and squishy.
Totally alone.
Yeah.
Close the door. Trainer's just like going, hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Forget it.
Anybody?
Yeah.
No. You've been a bad.
I do think there's a, like, if you were dedicated, I do think there's a good place for indoor training year round, but
yeah,
it just doesn't bring me enough joy.
I think I'm going to keep mine. It always stays out because I have a dedicated space for it. So I'll leave it there. I'll unplug it, but I, you know, can always reach over and plug it back in. But with making an old man grunt before I do, like, while I bend over. Does anybody race into fitness anymore? Is that just a thing of the past? I remember, Paul, we can talk about that, the actual ability to have enough events to actually get bike races and use them to race into fitness. But here we are, people who won't travel for more than, you know, we need at least two races to travel or something to, you know, see or spectate. Making a weekend out of it, you know. I don't. Is racing to fitness a thing anymore?
I mean, that's basically why I went to Kennewick.
Yeah,
was to just get my butt kicked.
Yeah, that's so, a Freda for me,
and it worked.
Yeah. Mission accomplished.
Mm-hmm. I feel pretty good right now for where we're at.
Okay.
Nobody else? No, yeah. It's gonna be a Freda for me, and then
yeah,
the first several SCRs will definitely just be like doing attacks and trying to get race fitness because. Yeah, I care more
tactic
about...
Tactic window out the window.
Yeah.
Sam's going to attack. What?
I mean, I don't know. I like, without sounding like a total ass here, like, I am so marked in the local field. Like, if I go off the front...
you're that cool.
No, but for some reason, I'm not even good.
Hey, that's
and people
Sam.
Are
that's Sam Waples.
Me. No, it's like
he's
they
a
know
rock
me
star.
And they're like, I'm going to follow Sam. I know him. And it's like...
Do you ever
don't follow me. This isn't a good move to go in.
Do you ever think it's I'm going to follow Sam because he always goes to the front and pulls hard?
No, because I'll
Did
be...
Did you think? You sure about that?
I mean, you remember
they always counter me and then they drop me after about an hour before the race.
It's almost like they knew what I was going to do before I go.
No, I've had people come up to me at the end of the race and be like, yeah, no, I was just, my whole plan was just marking you. I'm like, yeah, that was a bad plan, huh?
How did that work?
Like,
remember last year?
Then they're like, "Oh, by the way, I got to go to the podium presentation."
Yeah.
You remember those two like triathletes that showed up last year? Nobody knew who they were, and they would just mark like you or whoever else, and then they let them go, and they like completely were gone.
Yep.
These people that we just didn't know, but they were like very clearly fast.
Like when I wasn't there, then they just put in one massive attack and blew the doors off everybody.
Mm. Anyways.
No, it's Anyway, back to my point. The early season is for like kind of getting those efforts in, and like I'm Tour de Bloom. That's my thing.
Your
race to fitness, or you think you're gonna do well?
Mm-mm. I have no dreams of grandeur that I'm gonna do well, but that is my A race. So like all the races leading up to that are like preparation.
So that's the big dog.
That's the race, okay. Right? And then RC3 and
All right. Silence in the group means I can go to our headlines. From the past week, brought to us in part by Muck Off, featuring cleaning materials, tools, and tubeless technology, unrivaled in performance. Use the link. Please. In professional cycling, the past week has provided us with a shit ton of intrigue, if you have been paying attention. Hey, David. First off, the race known as Little Flanders, a.k.a. Gent Wevelgem, happened this past weekend. My wife makes up names for all the races. When I tell her, she says, oh, what's the race on this weekend? I said, Gent Wevelgem. She says, get bubblegum. So this is get bubblegum. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Primoz Roglic, she calls Remos Primoz.
Mm.
Yeah. No, Roglic, or something like that. I kind of have to get her down here. But Get Bubblegum happened this past weekend with anything other than a sprinter's paradise taking place. Final came down to two riders with a rarity these days with dominating solo performances that have been happening. In the form of Matthew Vanderpoel and Mads Pedersen gunning it out over the climbs to a sprinting drag race, providing Pedersen with his second Gent victory. So who watched it? David won.
No way.
Little boy's growing up.
David even knows some facts about Mads Pedersen.
Wait, what?
I do. Yeah, why are we talking about his height?
Yeah, his weight.
So
yeah.
I went down a
David,
rabbit hole.
Yeah, we were watching the sprint. I'm like, God, they are big. And, I was like,
but
we looked at
not.
Up.
Mads not super tall, no. I don't think.
The conclusion for the elf on the shelf from our discussion was that I would be big in the tour, like,
yeah,
physically,
mm-hmm. yeah,
not successfully physically. Because even the big guys are like 5'10", 5'11".
Yeah. Like, how tall do you think Matthew is?
He's
6'1".
Yeah.
No.
He was 6'0".
Yeah.
And Mads was 5'10".
Yeah.
Wild is 6'3" or in there.
Oh, he's big.
Yeah, he's big.
Bonin is, was Tom 6'4". Bonin,
yep. And Bradley Wiggins. And there were some tall guys, but like...
your earlier premise... was completely bullshit, is what you said. They're all like small.
Look at Mads, we go like, well, look at Mads, and you're like, right, Mads is huge. Like, yeah, he's thick. And then it's like, he's 5'10 and 150.
He's 70 kilos, you know, which is about, yeah, about 155. No, that's 100 and about 160, 100, around 160 pounds. 158.
You know, my all time fave, Sagan, he's like 5'10. He's big. You look at him, he's a big dude. But really, he's just wide.
Yeah. Was the course change, and Paul might be able to comment on this, because you tend to know these stats. This was a different Kemp Velvegum than I remember in years. It seemed like there were gravel sections. There were more. The climbs seemed to come later in the race, which is not a normal thing for Kemp Velvegum. It usually seemed kind of like the climbs happen, and then there's more of a group effort. Yeah, I'm thinking of Binyam Girmay winning and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Was this year that different?
Not in the last couple of years. The Ploeg Streets, which those are the gravel sections.
Yeah,
they've kind of made this, turn this into the memorial of World War One.
Yeah.
So, in the old days, the Camelberg is always the big one. They had a couple of hills, you know, up until the last 30.
I've ridden that.
Yeah.
On Ruby. Yeah.
It really does kind of shit the way they started. It used to be start and Ghent, but it starts.
Yeah.
And on the Menengate and stuff. So it has altered a little bit, but pretty much where, you know, a sprinter or, you know, a power guy could get away. But it was windy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Windy.
I watched it down here while I was assembling a 3D printer, and the one thing was constant was the in every microphone, and mm-hmm. it was bad.
Mm-hmm.
It was a beautiful race. Mm-hmm. It was fun to, well, I listened to it, but mm-hmm. I bounced back into here and stuff like that. It was a great one. Has Lidl Trek found the solution to competing against Matthew Vanderpool?
Not on Friday, they didn't.
No, they had a bad Friday.
Yeah.
E3 is
oh yeah.
Yeah, that's
But the, I mean that's what the, did they correct and
I think so. I think also Vanderpool was burned a lot of matches.
Yeah.
Doing that. He did look a little weak in my opinion on weak for him.
Yeah.
On Sunday, and I'm sure he felt that. I mean, what was it on E3 he took off with? How many K?
That's like 60 or 50, yeah, wasn't
50
it?
And maybe 50 yeah. K. But
I think that Lidl Trek has really found their triple threat in terms of the classic season. Who would have thought that Jonathan Milan
mm-hmm.
is what he is? Yeah. Like, I knew he was a powerful sprinter, winning the Ciclamino jersey last year in the Giro, but I was not expecting to see him at the front of races, like, pushing Matthew Vanderpool. And I was happy to see it. And I also listened to another podcast with Cosmo Catalano from How the Races Won.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was really interesting to hear how that, having him. Was so interesting because when Mads and Matthew went off the front together, neither of them made the decision, oh, my sprinter's behind. I don't have to pull. Because realistically, Jasper Philipsa was back there too. So Vanderpool could have just been like, I'm not pulling. Either you continue to pull me around or my sprinter's going to catch us and probably win. But then to think about that, Jonathan Milan is also in that group as well, who's I'll put in a lot of effort.
Was in there for a while too.
Yeah, but unfortunately flatted on the Ploeg Streets.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Yeah, it was. I think that they are kind of using the tactic of what Jumbo Visma did, or now Visma Lisa Bike with Tadej Pogacar. It's just when you have that one unbeatable character, you got to use the team.
Yeah,
and it's. I was happy to see somebody else besides Matthew win.
Mm-hmm. And what a team it's become. I mean, the women had Lorena...
Lorena Wiebes.
Wiebes has been doing really well. She just got barely nipped out by Elisa Balsamo. No, Lisa Balsamo got beaten by Weavis.
Yeah.
And Weavis is SD Works. Yeah. So, you know, we're getting hearing a lot of that name. But that was just showing that Lethal Trek is, you know, is turning into something a little bit more powerful. And if you look at the women's roster for the upcoming classics, Lethal Trek's got a really good lineup. Mm-hmm. That's looking pretty good. So that could be something else. Also, elsewhere on the continent, Tadej Pogačar dominated the Volta Catalunya, winning four stages and crushing just about anybody in his wake. The final stage, a sprint stage, basically, with a pretty nice little climb on that lap, still won it. Thoughts on Tadej's quest to win everything? Is this sustainable? This dude is tackling two Grand Tours and a multitude of major classics.
Let's think about it. What happened last year, right?
Yeah.
So, Jonas Vingegaard goes to the Tour, wins the Tour by 3 minutes. Jonas Vingegaard goes to the Vuelta, gets second, right? Yeah. Second or third? I think it was third,
second,
right?
Second.
Mm-hmm. So, realistically, it's something that a Grand Tour rider can do. And we see Pogačar taking a much different route this year in terms of skipping a lot of these classics. He's not doing Flanders.
Yeah.
He's not doing Roubaix, which I think next year he probably will. But I think he's going to go to the Giro. Looking at the Giro roster, he's probably going to kick the living shit out of everybody else there, if we're really thinking about it. And then he goes to a Tour, which already have ridden a Grand Tour, got it in the legs, got the experience, and he's probably going to have an amazing team go with him. So I'm really interested to see how he handles this year. Jonas Vingegaard also this year is destroying every single 1 week stage race that he's racing in as well. So they're kind of going head to head in the exact same approach.
But they're keeping them apart from each other.
They are.
It's and interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think right now, I think Tadej might be able to take him on a 1 week stage race. I'm really interested to see a 3 week though, when it comes to both of them.
Yeah, I think that like Jonas, by the time you get to the Tour, he peaks so well just for that that he's like, he's good for the Tour. But I would agree, he's not ready early season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think it'll be interesting just because Visma Lisa Bike won't have Wout. They lost Nathan Van Hooijdonk.
Yeah.
So on the flats and all that, I don't know if the strength of the team is going to be there for him as much as that's what worked to their advantage.
Even
against
the climbs
Tadej.
With Wout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll still have, yeah, you're right, even in the climbs. But so I think it'll be interesting on that. They'll have to approach it not like they did the last couple of years.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
They'll have to have a different strategy.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And the signing of Pavel Sivakov to UAE, I think, is going to be a huge, large catalyst in these Grand Tours this year.
David, I don't want to leave you out, man. You watched a bike race this weekend, and I don't mean this in a condescending way. You're a busy dude. You're a busy dude, and you got all this kind of stuff going on. What did Davey take away? What did Gorilla Dave? No, what, Tornado Dave. Take away from this weekend? I mean, I'm busting your balls, but. I'm not busting your balls when I'm asking you about what you take away.
It's really nice to watch bike racing when the opportunity presents itself. I was surprised to see Mads beat
Matthew
Van Der Poel in the end. But I mean,
the lead out to it.
Yeah, he like couldn't even come around him in the end.
Yeah,
but yeah, he put in more work throughout it. I don't have thoughts on the other races yet.
How much did you watch?
There's the final, like 5K or something like that.
Oh, well, okay.
I was watching it from, I found this like YouTube channel.
Yeah, that plays it.
No audio.
Yeah, or
you're
highlighting. Dutch.
You're just highlighting.
Yeah. Okay. No, it's not highlights. It's live.
I know, but you're basically watching 5K.
Oh, no, I watched from 50K.
You can watch the whole thing.
You can watch the whole thing.
It's,
I just, when I was over
feed.
At his house.
I'm a highlighter.
Yeah.
You're a highlighter.
But there's just no commentary. It's interesting.
It was weird. The sprint's happening and you're like, could somebody please yell?
Like, what's going on? Yeah, I know. Can somebody yell at me right now?
Yeah.
I've had an ongoing battle with Flow Bikes. And I appreciate everything they do. I just want to get that out of the way first. morning of Gent Wevelgem, I come downstairs. I know I can rewind and watch it. I don't get up like Paul at the crack of dawn. I get up. I come downstairs. I turn on Flow Bikes. Everything's ready to go. I hit play, and it's the fucking podium. In the logo, before I even hit select, it's showing live footage in the logo of the three guys standing on the podium.
That is maddening. How much do you pay for that?
I don't want to talk about that.
That is
insane. I just do want to talk about that at the top of my lungs. I'm going to push my mic away. I went, fuck you! I was so mad because I don't know what to do with any more Flow Bike races. Because, and by the way, when I shut it off and I waited again, because you got to wait for everything for their coverage to be over, and then it takes about another hour for it to be available on replay. Okay, that's what they do. HBO, no. It says start from beginning, and you're like, sure. You select it. It's just a picture. Okay, you hit select from beginning on Max. But this, they think they're being cool and hip and up to speed, you know, by showing us this is what's going on right now. Jump on in. You're like, fuck you. That's the podium. And when I logged in, I think there was an hour later. That's my point. An hour later, there was a headline on the site that said Pedersen wins Gent Wevelgem before you even get to the watch button. Who's in charge at this website? Because I want to kick them in the balls. If they have balls.
That's so interesting. I had the polar opposite experience.
Of course
you did. I woke up at like 9 something.
This is my Charlie Brown fucking life.
I woke up at like, I'd say 8:30 or 9, and I just...
That's when I got up!
Well, I just clicked down, hit the replay, had no issues. I will say, I think that their developers could work a little bit better on their app. It's kind of... It sometimes has a... It shits the bed a little bit. Yeah, it's clumsy. That's a great way to describe it. But I didn't have that. I will also say, I wonder if that's something to like get people like to know, oh, this is live. You just hit the most unfortunate timing. Like, of course, they're showing the podium at the exact time that, like, that's just such bad timing.
Mads is holding the trophy above his head.
Yeah.
And so I just looked at my wife, and my wife's sitting there on the couch looking at her iPad, you know, just doesn't give a shit. I start losing my shit again. She's like going, okay, what day is it? Any day that ends in a Y, Pat loses his shit. But I don't ask for much, but I do ask, you know, I know that you want to get people excited about it, that it's a live feed. Put the word live up there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so stupid.
Well, now you know. Go down to replays. Just scroll quick.
You got to do that thing with your eyes where you like blur them.
Like I'm looking at those old 3D pictures that people are saying in their house.
Just do like this.
Let's bump. Let's go to Ed. I'm just punch people. Even though I don't, I probably.
You're such a nice guy.
I bet if I hit somebody, it just wouldn't even hurt. Because my shoulders are weak and stuff like that. And I'd spend so much time thinking. I'd spend so much time thinking about it that I just kind of screw it up. It's like when people watch you. You know, if you're walking down the aisle, like when I got married, I knew I was walking all stupid because people were watching me, and I forgot how to walk. So the moment you go to swing at somebody, I'd be like Bernardino in that picture where he's just like, you know, just hand back. It's like going.
Found a great profession.
You punch like a cyclist.
Since people are always watching, your profession, like stage. You know?
Oh, no, I direct.
I guess that's true.
Not on stage. We are jumping ahead to the classics. And in terms of the classics, I know the Ardennes is fun, but with Flanders and Roubaix bookending this week, the tradition, the spectacle, the glory couldn't be higher. And I don't know if you guys know, but we do have somebody in our midst who's been to these races.
Hmm?
Yeah. Paul Maine has been to Belgium.
Yeah. Have I told you guys that?
Wow.
What?
First time hearing of it.
No. That's where those...
What?
That's where those came from. And so we're bumping, changing times up a little bit with our Holy Week preview. So I have a bunch of questions, but I just kind of wanted to let you, as somebody who's been there, talk to us about the events themselves... I'm sure you'd have a, you know, a little on tradition and things like that. But the and also the differences between the two, because I know, you know, first of all, there's a country between the two technically, but and the cultures and the way the races are done and the types of riders. Just give us an overview of your experience on those two.
Well, just to briefly, my first Paris-Roubaix that I watched was in 2013, and then I watched it again in 18. I missed Flanders in 2013 by one day. It's just just scheduled from work and everything that I wasn't able to make it. So, so I saw Flanders for the first time in 18, and then Roubaix the following week. Going back next year too, so to do that.
I'm going with you. Good. Yeah.
So, anyway, the thing is, when I saw Roubaix, that's the bike race that got me involved, and I think more Americans know Paris-Roubaix before Tour of Flanders, a Ronde van Vlaanderen.
Yeah.
And so,
we were gonna make David say that tonight.
So, but the funny thing is in 2018 when Dismount Dave and I flew in and we picked up our rental car. And the guy was making small talk as he's typing in my name and stuff. And he says, are you guys, you know, here to visit? What, you know, what are you guys
typing
here for?
Your name in, like to Interpol?
Yeah,
to like,
Interpol. I'm sure. Interpol's looking at me. And so he's like, you know, what are you here for? You know, and we told him we're here to watch Flanders. The guy just lit up. This really? Is in the Brussels airport. And he's like, he's going off and he's like saying, you know, this team's strong this year. I'm like, holy cow. But going back previously in 2013, we flew and took a train into Bruges. We stayed in Bruges for 3 days and then drove to Paris-Roubaix from Bruges into Orchy is where we viewed the race. But picking up the rental car there, and I don't think it's just rental car people too. This lady behind the desk was after Paris-Roubaix. She had us captivated for about a half hour talking about, you know, the race and stuff like in Belgium, especially in Flanders, it is everything. It's their lifeblood. It runs in their blood and you can feel it. I was pretty excited to go to Gerardsbergen and where the Kapelle Muur is. And it was just packed because they've removed that from the Flanders, but they brought it back that particular year, I think for a couple of years. and 4 hours, we were there 4 hours before the race came and it was already packed. They always have like fan zones, you know. So anywhere where there's a gathering, where people are gathering, there's big screens and stuff. But Roubaix is a little different. It is more international. It's not just Belgians. It is everybody comes. And I think it's so unique to any bike race. Flanders is definitely, they have, you know, E3, which goes basically over the same hills.
Yeah.
And Omloop. And all those, but
and then tomorrow's race.
Yeah, Dorsal Flandre. Yeah. Mm. And so, that's what I think the difference is. One of the things that I was surprised that 750,000 people line Flanders to watch Flanders.
Shit.
750,000 people are on the road. Yep, one time watching the bike race go by.
those types of numbers. I mean, you think about viewers of the Super Bowl. And then you think about people attending the Super Bowl. It doesn't, the people at the actual Super Bowl, it doesn't compare to the people at Flanders.
Because they're millionaires.
Yeah.
This is all free.
They're corporate people who have won a ticket because they made the most, you know, real estate sales or, you know, sold the most Ozempic. but it's just unbelievable to imagine more people than who attend the Super Bowl lining a road. And I do have to credit Ruby for showing me these roads and seeing what they really look like when nobody's there. They're shit roads. They're just little tiny goat paths, you know, and especially Roubaix. To think of all the people lining those roads who are just driving out there and walking into a field in the middle of nowhere and just going absolutely berserk. It is such a, I guess that's the beauty of, I mean, the only thing I can compare is like rally racing, rally driving, you know, where you've got people who travel out into middle of nowhere and just stand there waiting for you know, I'm
cars
sure,
going by.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm sure the Flanders Field or the Roubaix Field, you know, maybe at the max with everybody being shredded and, you know, dropped, maybe takes, what, 2 minutes to drive by?
Yeah.
To roll by?
When we were at the Flanders, we had the women's field came through first, and then they had the men's field come through.
Yeah.
When we were on the Kapellmuur. So, yeah, I mean, but it's a festival. They make it a festival just like we think about Tulsa Tough and stuff.
There's yeah.
crap going on. And even at the end of the race at the fan zone, bands come out and you get the...
Yeah.
And people are partying and it's a big deal.
Oh, my God.
I guess I meant to mention the difference between those two and racing is the cobblestones and Paris-Roubaix are almost hard. In the forest, you could twist your ankle walking on it. I'm not joking.
Yeah.
I mean, there's 3 inches difference between stones, and there's, like, gaps. And in Flanders, when they climb up those, they're more fitted, except the Kapellmuur is really nasty, and that's at 20%, and plus you're going off these bumps.
And but the thing about Flanders is it's the distance and then the massive amounts of climbs in the tail end.
Yeah. There's 18, 19 of these bergs that yeah. they do. Yeah.
And, you know, all over the world in terms of percentage of gradients.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got Roubaix, which is predominantly flat, but you've got the severity of the roads. You guys were able to go out and watch the people preparing the days before.
So, yeah, if you go over there, like Thursday and I think Friday, I don't know when the women might do it, Wednesday also. You can actually just go to the sectors, just go there and take pictures, and that's yeah. what Dismount and I did. We were in the forest, and it was interesting. You just see different teams come by, and just, I mean, they're going not race speed, but they're going faster than I would.
Yeah.
And, Peter Sagan was like 3 feet from me.
Yeah.
And he came by, and they actually... I think
that's
it was
guy,
Cycling News did a
pretty cool
a movie on that. Both Flanders, the Holy Week, you can actually look it up. I think it's, I don't know where you can find it now, but I paid for it. But there's a period where you went through the forest, and when you went by, I think I've told this story before, I'm looking, and there's a bike path that some of the guys are avoiding the cobbles for whatever reason. The team was taking the bike path,
oh,
and there's like
insane?
An 18-inch yeah. piece of grass between the cobbles in that bike path, and I'm standing in between taking pictures, and Peter Sagan goes by, and I got a couple of pictures of him and his thigh, and then half of his buttocks, and then
nice,
yeah, and,
very nice.
And Daniel Oss was like screaming something on the other side of me, and I didn't know it, but Dismount Dave was on the other side of the cobbles and took a picture. Peter Sagan was like 4 feet behind me, pulled over because they put an onboard camera that they were shooting for that film. There was a motorcycle guy, cameraman, shooting, and they had stopped just behind me. But I was afraid if I turn around, I'm going to knock somebody over.
Somebody.
Yeah, exactly. So Dave's got a picture of me squatting. I'm squatting down, and they're messing with this camera just like, you know, 3-4 feet away.
Oh, my God.
Unbeknownst. So, I mean, it was during their recon.
It's recon. Yeah, Thursday. Days before. Mm-hmm. Now, you would you say that this is a surface that, you know, being an accomplished cyclist and riding over that surface in Roubaix, or even the climbs, what type of a effort does it take just to get through them?
I haven't ridden them.
Yeah,
but I could tell you just 40 years of my experience on different types of surfaces, I don't know if I could tackle. The force is scary because you come flying down in race pace. They're doing over, in a, you know, 45 miles an hour and dropping down a slight downhill, and then yeah. it starts increasing and climbing. They sprint. There's Mitch Docker had Tom Bonin on his last podcast, and he talks about that. And Bonin says, you are as fast as you can going in that forest.
Yeah.
And it doesn't eventually kind of mellows out, but you don't, somebody goes down, you have nothing. It's just total chaos. You're just closing your eyes saying, I hope I don't go
please
down.
Please God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
And he said, that's the worst surface you can ride on. So.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Oh my God. And you've also talked about the accessibility, that the Flanders Fields races are more difficult for spectators as opposed to Roubaix. And is that just because of course design where it's more spread out?
Yeah, so Flanders had set up one of the promoters altered the course so that there's a lot of loops, a lot of more circuits through, which, you know, you could probably... The best thing to do is find, in my opinion, not that I know really well, but find yourself a hill, kind of anchor down on one of those, you know, the Quermont, the Pattersburg, but it is packed with people. There's people in Paris-Roubaix know all the shortcuts. You can figure it out because you have a map and you can, like, go ahead of, you know, the pack and see it several times. I personally have no interest in doing that. When they fly by, it's great to take pictures, but you don't even know what's going on. It's just happening so fast. And in Orchy, which is, I think, Sector 13 this year, that's where I've been the last couple of times. They have a local bike club that gives you, they sell beer, wine, sandwiches, and they have a huge screen so you
Mama,
can watch
I'm
it.
Home.
And then when it's approaching, everybody runs out and screams their heads off and runs back in, and you can watch the whole race. So
That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I can only imagine that Arenberg would be a... If you get there, you're stuck.
You can only watch on one side of that road, too.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who, in your opinion, is the best Tour of Flanders champion, the greatest champion?
Tour of Flanders is hard. That one's hard. Because there's six people who have only won three times. Probably it would be Manny, Forenzo Manny.
Oh,
and 1949, 1950, and 1951, he won three in a row. And he was the first Italian to do so. And he wasn't invited back in 52 because the Belgians said no.
Wow.
So he's the famous one that people see in the picture where he's got his... tape. He had a broken collarbone.
Oh, yeah. Bitness. That's him. Mm-hmm. Okay. Your favorite all-time Roubaix champion. And are you just going to go so old school that you're going
to... No. I mean, I would have to say the best. But I like... Bonin was... I mean, I think he was made for that race, and he was fun to watch. And I think he was a great loser in 2016. It would have been his fifth and broke the record over Roger De Vlaeminck.
Yeah.
And if there's any last 10K to watch of recent Roubaix, that's 2016 when Matt Heyman won. That
was cheering. Matt Heyman, like, coming off of a broken arm.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had a broken collarbone. Yeah, broken arm. And he actually trained on Zwift.
Yeah.
And
you know what that did for Zwift?
I know.
That was just like, oh, thank you.
Well, I don't have to ride.
He broke his ulna the same way that I broke mine. And so he won that. And then I was just like, I could do that this year.
There you go. Yeah. Why didn't you get on Zwift?
I wasn't anywhere near that good.
Oh.
And he was in the break at 178K to go. He was in the break from the very get-go. Yeah. He's the only one that survived a break and ended up winning. So,
That is such a good one. That's a good 16's one.
The best one to watch.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Kelly won twice.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah. 84 and 86.
Yeah. I remember those ones vividly. You know, struggling to watch them on CBS Sports.
Ivan Mario. Yeah. Anyway,
let's take a look at our lineups. We've got them all in front of us, and David's been frantically. The start of the show, you're adorable. At the start of the show, you were on, you were staring at these sheets, you were circling stuff, you were on your phone, you were doing all kinds of stuff,
yep,
placing bets. So
not a lot as inspire or came from that. Just so you know, you can see very little circling.
There we go. Well, our Roubaix start orders are pretty sparse. So we're going to have to do a little bit of speculation. Paul might know a little to help us out on those. But let's start with the big one this weekend with Flanders and with the women. First, of course, we get three picks. We all get three picks.
And chances are women first.
Yes. Chances are we're gonna all cross a lot here. We can keep it kind of quick. I can probably go first. I'm gonna go with because I think Cassie Niewiadoma needs to win a lot more races just because I like her. I'm picking her. I'm picking Puck Peters because she is gonna be there, and that's gonna be really cool. I think it'd be a really changing of the guard moment, and because SD Works is there, I'm not. By the way, did you notice I'm not picking a Lidl Trek rider for this one? Huh. I'm picking Demi Vollering. Jackson,
I am picking Demi Vollering, Lotta Capecchi, and Elisa Longaborghini.
Oh, okay, straight to the point. I like it.
Yeah, I mean,
I talk too much. How else could you pick them?
Obviously, America, Chloe Dygert,
yeah,
Elizabeth Dignan, and Demi Vollering.
Demi Vollering. Lizzie Dignan being back, I think, is cool.
Yeah, I'm stoked.
Yeah. Paul?
I went Vollering, Capecchi, and Balsamo.
Okay, okay. David, do you want to skip, or do you got...
Yeah, I have no idea.
Okay, that's okay.
Chloe.
America.
For the men, I am going to go with I'm going to pick the obviouses. Is literally the obviouses, all top three: Matthew Vanderpoel, Wout Van Aert, and Mads Pedersen.
Skip, because that's exactly what
exactly who you picked. Those guys are absolutely flying.
Yeah, you have to pick them, but I'm going to pick somebody different because I also think that in a lot of these races, like, things just happen. I think Wout's going to just dominate the next 2 weeks. Yeah. Nielsen Paulus, though. I'm telling you, he's American, and he's powerful.
Oh, okay. Bless anyway, your
and then
heart.
Michael Matthews.
Yes, right. I don't know if he's got the climbing legs.
Yeah,
yet.
I think he does. He's a decent climber. He's done well in that race in the past, so that could be a good pick.
Oh. Yeah.
I went Wout, always Wout, and I went with Mohorič because he digs in deep and he may get in a break, and then Tim Wellens, who's been doing really well lately.
There we go, David.
Because I watched the last 10K of
Mads Pedersen.
Mads Pedersen and Vanderpoel, and then also Wout.
Dude, great choice. I would like
to change a pick.
Did you? Because all of us picked those?
Yeah, and so it's boring. I would like to scratch away Mads Pedersen, and I'm going to pick Biniam Girmay.
Oh, that'd be interesting if he's got the fuel in the tank.
He had a lot more this last weekend.
In Gent Wevelgem. He worked hard in Gent Wevelgem. Paris-Roubaix.
Women?
Yeah, probably we can argue the biggest single day in the sport of cycling. I'm going with a lot of Lidl Trek. I'm going with Lisa Longaborghini, Elsa Balsamo. And I would love to see Allison Jackson even just kind of come close to what she did last year. I think she is such a cool person. I don't remember seeing her a lot near the front prior, but maybe she's got the taste and she just can bring something. Jackson.
I am going to pick Lotta Capecchi, Elisa Longaborghini, and Lorena Wiebes.
Lotta Capecchi could very well
win both.
Yeah.
Chloe Dygert, Elizabeth Dignan, and Lotta Capecchi.
Capecchi, and I have again. Balsamo, I think she's going well.
Yeah.
And, I might go with the GOAT. I'd go with Voss if she's.
I didn't even think about Marianne Voss. I didn't even think about her. That's disrespectful. That's just down disrespectful.
There's like four people. Yeah.
David was piercing.
These are small lists.
Yeah, because they have to announce it by Tuesday tomorrow.
Well, why do they get Zwift and the men don't?
Because it's
that's who
their main
it.
Sponsor.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
It's all done online. They just race it digitally. For the man on Paris-Roubaix, I'm going to pick two for sure, Mads Pedersen and Mathieu van der Poel. I really, and I have a soft spot in my heart for John Degenkolb. I would, last year, he got hosed. And I want him to have one more day in the sunshine, or in this case, in
Matthew
the mud.
Matthew took him out on purpose.
Yep, he did. Yeah, it was out of spite.
Bastard.
Yeah. Jackson.
I am going to pick Mathieu van der Poel, Wout van Aert, and Tim Merlier. He did win a sprint on the cobbles not 2 weeks ago. So.
Yeah.
Wout will win. And then I'm also Mads Pedersen and Tim Wellens.
Those are good choices.
Tim Wellens is riding really well.
He is. Paul.
Wout for the win. That's it.
That's
no,
it?
No. I have Lampard. He was close at one time with and then he got bumped by the spectator. Yeah. And then I have Mohorovic because he's always a wild card.
It's really hard to vote because, like, Team Visma has so many good riders for the two that it's just like, but you know Wout's their number one guy.
Yeah.
But I mean, I want to vote Matteo, obviously. But I mean, like, Tiege Benoot, he would be a great hitter. Yeah. Like, there's so many good guys on those teams, but it's like, well, you know that they're going to work as hard as they can to get Wout there, so you got to vote Wout.
Yeah. I think Christophe Laporte this year is falling a little flat with that.
He's sick.
Yeah, it shows.
Yeah, it's
lot.
Been hitting the
he's
team.
Been sick.
The
yeah.
team's
the
been
team.
Getting hit by that.
But he's just not been performing at the same level he did last year. Yeah. It's the European bands.
Yeah.
Mateo.
That'd be pretty cool. He was riding really well in
E3. Yeah, he was.
He was just going after everything.
Yeah.
Good to see.
And it looked like Wout in E3 was just kind of coming out of that training camp mode where he's like, I haven't had the speed work yet, and I think he can be.
You have to put in consideration, he crashed before the steepest part of the Paderberg.
Yeah.
And he had to, it took a while. He was dead last in that, and then he passed everybody on his own. He just ran out of gas. Yeah. But I think he made his position going into the Paderberg was wrong. But, you know, he should have been up front more. And then he even said that was his error on the crash himself. Yeah. So,
David, we didn't get your picks.
They're the same as before. Van Aert.
Dude, those are good picks.
Pedersen.
Those are very good picks. Mm-hmm. Very good picks. How are you guys planning to watch?
Early.
You're going to be at
a bike race, I don't know. You guys.
What an idiot!
Oh, I guess I'll be there too. I was gonna say, aren't we coming here?
You go.
I will. It will be a race.
You going with your brother? You racing?
Oh yeah, I got him
riding.
Okay.
Yeah,
riding. It's a race. Come on,
you're making a race, but
I will make it a race.
So you guys are all replays. You guys are replays. Don't look at your phones.
Well, that's a bummer.
Yeah.
I was gonna do that ride,
but
we'll just watch it on the way home.
How early are Jackson, are you coming?
No, because I did last year, and it was over by the time that I had got here. So I was like, what's the point?
Yeah. So you're not going to work your way out. Paul, how early are we getting up?
I calculated what Ehrenberg Forest is like 100K, and that's when it really opens up. I think that's 5:30 our time.
Okay.
And
bar will be open to
dismount for sure. And CP said he might make it.
See, this is the last day of my spring break. I love you guys, but I am not doing that.
I love you guys, but not that much.
I'm having heart surgery the next day.
Okay,
it could be my last day in
the
earth.
Whoa.
And you won't come to see your father.
Let's really clarify.
I could be dead the next day.
You've already had this done once.
Also, surgery's all at all.
That's pretty dramatic.
Hey, yeah.
They're puncturing my body to work on my heart.
Oh,
I'd call it a procedure.
I'm not even.
Yeah,
here
David's
for
like, it's outpatient.
Yeah.
It's basically a fucking drive-through.
Man. Yeah.
It is just like going, hey, fix your heart. See you tomorrow.
Yep. You wake up to hearing next.
Yeah.
So we can watch it. I can watch it in the car while you drive me to the race, right?
This is true.
Absolutely.
All right. We need to get something clear here before we start driving. Who's driving?
Of course you're driving.
So technically.
He fell asleep in the wheel.
Yeah, I know, right?
Technically, we could just run through this. I don't need the big screen in the other room.
Yeah.
The projector. It's just four of us.
You know, there was a guy named Terry Preem.
Is Terry coming?
Terry, yeah.
We'll good extent.
I don't know if Terry's going to make it. Yeah. Yeah. Drop us a note if you want to come watch.
Who else? We had a couple other people last year too.
Yeah, we did. Well, Jack brought
Ed. He's not going to make it.
That was fun last year. I really wish that it wasn't on Afreda.
That was why no, I...
I'm afraid gonna, I made a mistake.
Yeah, no, I... Okay, I
first
I get
foremost,
it.
Yeah.
But also, like, I'm not going to miss out on going to ride my bike to watch my bike.
That one, definitely. That's the only bike I could...
So,
I,
like,
I would
I'm
ride.
Just curious. If it was this last weekend or for Flanders, right? Like, would you go race?
On Flanders? No. Those two races, no, I would
race. So there's
race.
Two.
Yeah. Yeah, those
Ghent.
Two mainly.
Holy week!
Ghent,
have
I
you
would,
not been
oh,
listening?
Oh, Ghent, I would. I,
yeah.
I would do
okay.
it.
Ghent, I would race. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'd do it anytime during the tour. Not a problem.
Yeah.
And I've done it in the past.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Let's get to our other segments for tonight. Supported by our friends at Camelback, they started with hydration packs, and now they offer that and so much more. Bottles, packs, everyday tumblers, and insulated bottles. Put the others to shame. Check them out at Pack Filler. Our first one tonight is going to be a fit tip with Bike Fit Sam. From courtesy of you, are the people? Are there people? It's just the people, the person at Ambassador Cycling.
Yeah,
this is your, you own this.
It's me, but I actually we have a new employee that is a biker as well, and getting him trained up on all the fits, so he'll be joining me with Bike Fits.
Hot That's cool.
Yeah,
tonight's there came up a lot of discussion about saddles coming up tonight. Jackson was talking about the fact that finding the right saddle for the right person, it is not just about what comes with the bike. I remember the one that came with my Giant was the equivalent of sitting on a skinny end of a baseball bat.
Oh, fence post.
Yeah, and many just go with the ones like that, which we all know can lead to issues. So talk to me about proper saddle choices and how to find them, as well as once you have a proper one, the question was talking about center of gravity and bike handling that can be affected by your saddle placement and saddle choice.
What a question. All right. So I have had multiple times this last week, I've had lots of people coming in for saddle discomfort. And, you know, they're like, oh, yeah, I went and I got this, you know, I bought this saddle off the shelf from bike shop. And I'm like, great, do they size you? No. They just said this has the most gel. And I'm like, okay, back up. Oh, so I have a tool.
Remember the sexy saddle that came out, Paul, a while ago? There was something that, like, it had a vibrating
yeah, a
on it.
Thing
made
in
you,
the back.
Made you happy
like
while you rode down the road.
Oh, yeah.
That was gross. Anyway,
yeah.
Sorry, I digress.
So this is a Retool, you know, in a bike fitting company,
yeah, yeah.
And it's pressure maps. So you'll sit on this. My iPad will show, like, you know, the pressure points for your sit bones, and then that measures it, and it shows us your sit bone width. That then translates to a saddle, right? We size both of you guys. Would not expect skinnier, wider, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
I have a skinnier. So you're saying one part of my body is skinnier than my son's?
Yeah, one.
That was pretty quick on that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just gonna bathe in that
for
a
second. Waistline. So anyway, anyway. God, I don't know. I'm in a mood to roast you.
Yeah, no, I love it.
That's the best.
Somebody's got to.
Yeah. I know, you thought I was being too nice to you the other day. It was great.
Yeah, you got to bring it, bitch.
Yeah. Back to the question, though. So you find the saddle with that, and then after we have decided the correct saddle width, the fore and aft comes into play. And I recently did a fit on a local friend of the group, and he was having speed wobbles as he was going downhill. And I'm like, man, that's weird. Like, you think your frame's cracked? And it's like, no, yeah. It's not. There's no weird clicking or anything going on with this. And the bike came from you, I think, originally.
It was R5. It was my...
Yeah, and it's...
Yeah, I sold it to him.
Well-maintained, wow. Like, mm-hmm. Cool bike. So, anyway...
Paul's like, ha!
He's like, yeah, little do you know.
Sucker.
Cracked.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, the bike brought it in, and he has waited so far back on the bike... the saddle's moved so far aft that he is basically weighted over the rear tire. So there's no weight in the front end. So,
yeah.
Like, when he starts hitting upper speeds of, like, you know, 40 going downhill, you start to get that, like, chatter in the front end, which is super unnerving, right?
Scary shit.
So that's where, like, we do the plumb bob of knee over pedal spindle,
yeah.
Right? Which is that 3 o'clock position we've talked about in the past, but that weights you on the bike. Where you should be in the middle of your bike. So that is the really important after we get your seat size.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like Jackson, you've been comfortable on that saddle that you've had for a while, but you said that over the last couple of years or something like that, things have shifted where...
Yeah. So Sam and I are going to meet this Friday. I did purchase the new saddle that was suggested for me, and I'm really interested to see what the if there is a reason, if we can even find that, why I have found some sort of discomfort recently. I don't know if it's weight training or how my body is just maybe a little bit different this year than it was last year. Now I'm finding, like, not to be too specific about it, but like saddle sore issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm interested to see what that is.
Do you associate it with more time on the bike? Has there been a dramatic jump in saddle time?
I think I've spent more time in this saddle, but I'm also, I think, utilizing a different part of the saddle a lot more now when it comes to, like, those hard efforts.
More on the front of the saddle.
It does feel that way. Yeah. Driving.
And, like, that would be my other question is, like, because I think, like, for you in particular, to jump over to your case, is, like, you've been riding not only just more in general, but also more frequently, right? Whereas beforehand, it's like you'd ride maybe on Monday, but then you'd have, like, Tuesday, Wednesday after you ride Thursday, right? And so it's, like, it can mask it a lot more as opposed to the day after day after day. Like, you've been a lot more consistent, so you're not having that time to, like, recover from, you know, the saddle. That's just my guess.
Even if you don't crash, is there a fatigue life in a saddle?
Yeah, I mean, they will break down over a few years. It really depends on the type of saddle, because some of the saddles, like the Brook saddles, just get better with time, right?
Yeah.
Whereas, like, a few of the other ones, if they have a lot of padding in them, like the ones that we have, gosh, I'd expect to get 10, 15 years out of them. Like, quite a while.
I think Brook saddles... I think riders die before their saddles die.
I think so. When you're like, they have bolts to, like, tension them and everything. It's insane how adjustable those things are.
Yeah. Like, Brooks saddles riders are a weird breed.
It's a different breed.
Yeah. Well, I suffered for 18 years and now it's perfect.
Now it fits like a glove.
Yeah.
My testicles fell off. Yeah. But,
my chamois cream slowly broke it in.
Yeah. My wife could leave me, but she ain't taking my saddle. My badge of honor. God damn it.
Have you guys ever hopped on somebody else's Brooks saddle?
Never.
No.
It's unnerving.
There are certain things I won't share, and many times my bike is one of the things I won't share.
I hopped on somebody's, like, bike for one reason or another. They had a Brooks saddle, and I was like, this is the weirdest thing I've ever sat on in my life. Yeah.
You wouldn't share your bike with me?
I don't know. You guys, because you're accomplished riders, and I know you treat it with respect.
Yeah, okay.
And it'll probably come back cleaner than it is.
Yeah. So that's the biggest thing, is like,
it's disrespect. I get that. It's like,
they're going to lean it up against something and scratch your bike.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah. Or even just lay it down on the grass on the derailleur.
Yeah.
Dumbass, right? Let's move on. Ask Dr. David tonight. Oh, I keep forgetting.
The bump.
Bastard has his own bump. Where is it, guys? Bump.
I can't wait to see Pat in like 10 years doing this.
Well, I'm still...
It's like every year you do like one more degree. And then you get trifocals.
I have trifocals.
Have a hinged head that just goes. I look like Sam Elliott in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, where it's just like, what? And another head comes out of my throat. Oh my God. With all these high carb options flooding the market, David, this is one that came out, and I have to admit, I'm kind of the source of this question tonight. These longer fueling type of products that are coming out that are allowing us to gain these massive carbs by just simply drinking. However, some fuels are taking the riders, well, to the toilet with some gastrointestinal issues. And I noticed that, and the one I just recently was reading about was the amount of maltodextrin put into their product. Scratch has they call it a term that I can't remember, like a combidextrin or something like that. I'd have to look up the word in order to see what it is. But maltodextrin being a regular ingredient, which some are saying could be the culprit. So what are your thoughts on this, and how do we know if it's going to take us to Brown Town and ruin our brand new saddles?
Brown Town.
Yeah. Well, did it take you to Brown Town?
No, I haven't
No. That's why he's asking the question.
I mean, yeah. He doesn't want a friend.
I'm about to
He doesn't want a turtle head hitting the chamois. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm about to... It's touching cotton! I'm about to do a full week of long rides, and I need something to fuel me, and I don't want to take the Browns to the Super Bowl.
Amen, amen.
In so, your chamois.
Yeah. Maltodextrin is like a very highly processed carbohydrate that is frequently added to non-sports supplement like high carb mixes because it somewhat bypasses regulations on what is considered a carbohydrate. And so like people can add that to foods as a sweetener without, and then it'll look like a low carb food, but it's actually not because maltodextrin breaks, certain types of maltodextrin will break down and actually have a huge carb release, which is then why people like Scratch or nutrition companies are using it, is because it's a different type of carbohydrate to put in the drink. I will say that as a caveat, I don't think that anything super highly processed is going to be good for you. I mean, this is one of the reasons that personally I really do like those Untappd gels, because it's natural sugar that you're getting. But when you're at super high intensity exercise, you need to utilize different sugar transporters in your gut, so you can transport different types of sugar at different parts in the gut. And so I think what they're trying to get at with maltodextrin is maximizing the ability to transfer carbohydrates at all of the different receptors. The problem is that not everybody can break it down. Different types of it actually don't break down until they get to your rectum.
Wow.
Or your
rectum. Yep. Could have killed them.
Could have killed them. Yep. Or your colon, and then they just ferment and they cause basically like an osmotic diarrhea.
Holy.
I think it's probably cheap to make maltodextrin, and it's a filler product for most other scenarios. I would personally be looking for something more
natural,
less processed, you know, eating your carbs more frequently rather than it sounds like the goal of maltodextrin is to like have a sustained release carbohydrate.
Yeah.
Which just isn't, it's not necessarily natural in this form. You can do complex carbs. Like if, you know,
what if you're a simple person? Should you have complex carbs?
This is the question, the age old question.
Yeah.
Scratch is not maltodextrin. It's called cluster dextrin, highly branched cyclic dextrin. That sounds really cool.
Highly nice. Branched cyclic. I just remember my head, when they don't were, know what that
yeah,
is.
Yeah, I know when they were like, you know, they had a video on it and they were just like, we have discovered, you know, long chain amino acid.
All they're doing is trying to pack
super complex carb, highly soluble and digest steadily like real food.
So that's what they're getting at, is they're trying to put something in there that will break down slowly.
Yeah.
If you have a whole wheat piece of toast versus white toast, the idea is that the whole wheat is a more complex carb that will break down slower. And so they're trying to mimic you eating something, but also trying to take into account the fact that you don't typically eat a sandwich on your ride.
Okay.
So
Eddie B made you pork sandwiches.
But I think
Eddie B never made me anything.
That's what they suggested.
Some scalding hot tea in a plastic bottle, which I guarantee had BPA.
Yeah.
I think if you could tolerate this stuff, fine. But also like maybe just focus on eating a few more solid things throughout your meal or throughout your bike ride, and some liquid carbs as well. Let your body do what it's supposed to do instead of
I have a really hard time. Like, I mean,
just
we
killed
went through
an entire
this,
industry of fueling options.
I rely on this stuff for longer rides. I can't. Yeah. I cannot do
is
food.
That the super
yeah, that's
fuel?
The super fuel.
Yeah,
that stuff never sat right with me.
I know.
Like,
David
it worked
didn't
on the rides, but I would feel disgusting afterwards.
Yeah, that's and it. Just that's locked so you up.
And Jackson, you like it.
It. I feel like a hero yep. at the end of rides because of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like I'm not even hungry at the end of the ride because it's like it's still slowly burning,
yeah.
right? But it's like the whole ride I can have one. I would be curious if you try this. Like, I can't have two back-to-back bottles. It has to be like one bottle of that, one
easy.
Bottle of water.
I can do two back-to-back and wow.
and
all
and
my gels on
day,
top of it.
None wow. of you are big fans of Trotsky, if
what?
You know what I'm saying.
What's that?
None of
taking
you,
the Browns to the Super Bowl.
None of you feel like you've been to Taco Bell.
Yes, I feel. I do. That's
David,
what I'm saying.
Yeah,
I'm
David got wrecked.
That's what I'm saying. But I want.
Well, he also can't drink stout. He's a little pristine little.
That's true.
It's a brewer's yeast. He's
cute. I'm an allergy.
I got like the brewer's yeast.
But I will. I mean, I think that it's worth stating that there is no dietary guidance that's perfect for everybody.
Yeah,
exactly. That's just we're all different. And if it works for
listen
you,
to your
fine.
Body.
Yeah, but if it doesn't, then don't push it. Like, it's not necessarily because it's good for some people doesn't mean it's good for you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So my I can't handle that stuff very well. I haven't tried this, to be fair. But all that carb stuff does not work for me, and I don't do well with high sugars. But making those rice bars, scratch,
brilliant,
unbelievable. Yeah. That stuff works great, and they're tasty.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I did the bacon ones.
I did. Great.
Oh God, I just do mine
bacon
with
and
I do mine
eggs.
With,
bacon eggs,
with
yeah.
peanut
bacon
butter
and, eggs.
And fresh berries.
No,
blueberries.
Do bacon and eggs.
I do chocolate chips and blueberry.
Yeah,
I did great on our cross country or cross state ride with. White bread and tofurkey. Man, that like...
It, oh, yeah, that hit. But also we had those...
All right, your entire... You've lost all respect when you say tofurkey.
White bread and tofurkey. Wonder
oh
bread,
my God.
Specifically.
Let's keep moving on because that's just an abomination, a sin during Holy Week. Style points coming up with the one and only Jackson Bulger. By the way, one of my goals during this next week is to... develop theme music for each and every one of you.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I'm going to get, it might be like a 3 to 4 second. You know, don't think you're going to get, you know.
David's.
Yeah. Yeah.
Something so.
We'll see what we can do. Jackson, what you got for this week?
Well, I love to shop. My birthday's coming up in a month and a day, and I love to shop on my birthday.
Wink,
yeah.
wink.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If you all don't get me stuff, I'm going to make your life hell. anyways, that's not true.
This
that's
is just
true.
My birthday list.
Yeah. No, I was going to...
It's like the spoiled rich kid in Harry Potter. Last year, I got 37.
Freaking Dudley.
Yeah.
Dudley. Dudders. Yeah.
You just got me on another thought with that whole Dudley thing. No, it's okay. This note that I have is, you can all see it. It's called bye, bye, bye. So
ain't no lie.
Nope. I, want to start asking you guys, do you stick to a specific brand or do you kind of like to shift around? Does it matter?
Ooh, depends on the brand. It depends on what we're talking about.
Okay. Well, this is, I'm literally going to have you guys dress yourselves.
Oh,
so
I flip flopped helmets. I'm back with Giro now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I went POC.
Well,
back
I know you used Sam. To be diehard, but I mean, like Castelli works for me for clothing, but I've also pearls in the other stuff.
Okay. Paul, do you have a brand you are hard on? That's a rough way to say that.
Well, yeah, there are some brands I get hard on for, but I can't afford them.
Yep.
But no, I do in all aspects. If it works for me and it performs or lasts, then I'm sold. I don't have to look elsewhere.
Nice, nice. David?
Yeah, across life, I definitely have, like, in every realm, like, clothing, you know, tools, buy all that. Like, there's things that, if it works, I'm going to go back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm early on in this, so I'm kind of trying to figure it out. I mean, even with tires recently, I've switched, mm-hmm. which is something way different.
Yeah.
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 So, it's just, I'm cool with switching around. Giro's kind of been my shoe for, I would say, a bit now. I've got the mountain
shoe.
Shoes. I've got the road shoes. They're excellent.
And if you find like the shoe, like a contact point coming from a fitter in a helmet, like those two things, mm-hmm. I can't stray. I've been on Specialized forever. And everything else, I used to write all Specialized, but now I'm like, oh, other companies make really good this or that. But
yeah,
man, like if you find what worked for you with those two contact points,
stick with it.
Stick with it.
Yeah.
I'll be editing that out of the show.
So speaking of shoes, I'm going to have you guys dress yourself from the feet up. I do kind of have a weird way of doing it, but...
We got to rapid fire it, though.
Yes. Shoes, Sam.
Specialized.
CD.
David.
Specialized.
Giro
as well. Socks, Sam.
Oh, God.
Pearl Zimmy.
No preference there.
Mm. Yeah.
Honestly, defeat.
Yeah, good socks. Good call.
They've got good socks, yeah.
I love the hell out of our Panache socks, but I have no preference.
So many holes.
I really do like a performance smart wool sock during the wintertime. It keeps it dry. Or
defeat, it makes those.
Anyways.
Scratch had some wool socks. That
they still make some wool ones that are gray, but they're thinner. I like those a lot, too. Bibs, so shorts.
Castelli.
Hassos.
Castelli.
No preference.
You know, I'm trying to figure it out here recently, too, because I like that the shorts are getting longer. And so if I can find a short that's a little bit longer, I prefer that. Do you guys wear undershirts?
Mm-hmm.
In every ride?
I have sensitive nipples.
If I had... Like, you do. Sometimes they're dirty, and I'm like, it's fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, otherwise.
Nice. Paul?
Just recently, I started getting...
Every single one? Every ride?
No. Now, if it's hot, no.
Interesting. Okay.
When it's cold.
Yeah.
I have several of them because there are some shorts that... I have sensitive nipples.
For sure.
And they will.
I've seen the bleed.
Bibs. My nipples will chafe.
The bibs will hit me right there, and if I get excited... I can cut glass. I cut glass, man. No, I'm kidding. That's disgusting. But yeah, I do wear them, except on the hottest of days.
Yeah. I predominantly in the winter, I'm with David. It's just a nice
extra layer. It's a great layer.
Yeah.
I go sleeveless, of course.
Yeah. I've even seen the sleeved ones, long sleeves, all those. Jersey brands, Sam.
Castelli.
Assos.
Castelli.
No preference. I ride everything across the border now. Across the border, wow! Across the board, just I'm now the sleeves have to be longer,
because
I have very very broad shoulders, and it's the calcium. if I have a jersey with shorter sleeves, they ride up, and I'm constantly pulling them down. I hate that shit.
Yeah,
it's got to be. I love the new style of kits with longer sleeves. Yeah.
You know, I will give a shout out to you, Mr. Pat Bulger. I really do like the pack filler. Dave. All of them, they are just long enough for my arms.
Yeah,
so those are nice jerseys.
Yeah. Glasses, do you have a preference? Sam?
Smith, but Oakley has recently.
Smith
is amazing.
I don't wear
the same. Paul wear them. No, Paul, you don't wear them.
I used to enjoy Smith, but I actually really like Oakley right now.
I'm neutral. I went back to a pair of 100% that I haven't worn for a long time, and they're kind of cool again.
Yeah, I really liked our time with Gooder.
They were great glasses and great value. I don't want to bash Gooder at all because they're awesome for what they offer.
I
just want something a little solid.
Yeah, and I'm really hoping a certain somebody that I know is watching right now that also gave wedding vows on the same day I did maybe got me something for my birthday. Just a little shout out, you know, which might come from Oakley.
Which might be an Oakley.
Yeah, that's a joke for her. Do you guys wear, helmets first? We'll do helmets.
Specialized.
Giro.
Specialized.
I'd go between Giro and Pac, and I'm back to Giro now, but I still have my Pocs on the wall back there.
The whole time.
I had defeat socks, okay?
That's true. Yeah. I'm Pac guy after smacking my head against the ground.
Yep.
It won't change.
I love those helmets. They're great helmets.
And really comfortable. Do you guys all wear gloves?
Yeah.
Only in defense. Only in crazy crits.
Okay. David, you said yes all the time?
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, no. For like cold weather or for crits, I'll wear the half-fingered ones.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I need a full Lycra back glove.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want a strap or anything.
No.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I will wear gloves all the time. My hands just get hurt too much.
Yeah.
But anyways, all in all, thank you guys for answering my questions. It's just interesting to hear what everybody's preference is, because this is one of those things where nobody has the same preference.
Yep. No. Whatever works for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. And that kind of backs off of the whole saddle thing. So
helmets and saddles, like you're saying, everybody's got a different size ass and a different size head.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes their heads are up their ass.
Hello!
Hey!
Hello!
Yes! I am not going to... actually, I'm going to provide a super quick outro tonight. Okay? Super quick outro. And it's a segment I was going to start with my segment. I was going to give myself one, but you guys take up all the time. I don't know if you guys read recently in Road CC, a guy... and this was shared to us by our friend Noah on the Pack Filler Facebook group. A story about a cyclist in England that claims after suffering a mechanical on his Pinarello, he was forced to ride the second 100K of a 200K ride using a Science and Sport water bottle for his saddle.
He wanted to.
My question is, your opinion, and does this guy not have friends or family and a cell phone? Jackson, you get to go first.
I think that's voluntary. You don't just go, damn, I can't ride this now. No, he wanted the water bottle there.
Yeah. Sam, he's too strong.
He's
frozen. Yeah. We've lost Sam.
Catatonic.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
There has to be a bike shop within that range.
Or call somebody, right?
Yeah.
Paul?
An Uber.
No. It's unnecessary. And I saw a guy early in a race. hit a pothole and it popped this. It's just the railings.
Yeah.
And the seat came off. He used an old, because it was early spring, he used a thick winter glove. I would have quit the race. There's no way.
Yeah, I'm call done. Home.
It's not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not worth it.
Absolutely.
This guy did it for the press.
He did it to himself.
All right. Yeah. There we go. Like, subscribe. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for all being here.
Thank you.
We will not be here for next week for the show, so you two go fast in the Fondo. And Paul, I'll see you bright and early on Roubaix. And Jackson, you suck.
Well, I am your son.
That's your son.
Thanks, man. I love you guys. See you later.
Oh, I gotta wait
for 14 more seconds.
I did not.
You did.
Do you have to pee, Pat?
No, I'm dancing.
Oh, okay.
I do a little.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.